the buzzer, McCord on its way. Oh, my goodness.
They have to get it. No timeouts. They do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome to Courtside. It's actually not just Courtside. It's the world's greatest podcast, better known as Courtside. In fact, eventually we're going to have just a symbol. We're going to be like Prince. I mean, you know, it's not going to be Courtside. It's going to be the world's greatest podcast. There'll be some type of symbol, a big world, our two heads. And, you know, it's just about talking ball, life, and anything else that gets in our way. And my good friend Dan Dockage and I will take you through the next hour. We've got Chris Mack joining us right live from New York City and Madison Square Garden, where he's going to be taking on a Texas Tech team, the number one team in the country, Louisville. D squared, you are in State College. Hopefully you'll get some ice cream or something. How is life?
Oh, man, are you kidding? Life is gunt, as the great Uwe Blob used to say. I'm in State College. It is raining, but I don't care because I get to watch the Maryland Terrapins. And I believe first-team All-American to this point. Now, a lot of things change, but Anthony Cowan has been as good as Eddie Seth, and I got to believe it's a little bit of a desperate Penn State team. Let me ask you this. You called Anthony Cowan the Mariano Rivera of college hoops, and that is so accurate. He closes it off. Anybody that saw the Illinois game would be like, holy cow, is this guy something? Let me real quick, Seth, ask you this. If Anthony Cowan, in my opinion, is a first-team All-American as a guard, who else is with him? Who's with him as a – I was giving this some thought this morning.
I'll tell you what, Jared Butler, Baylor's playing at a high level. I'll tell you, Baylor's good.
Interesting you say that because the team they played, Butler – Tamar Baldwin, I watched him play the second half against Florida. Seth, I swear to God, he made one mistake the entire half. He took a bad shot. That's going to be a hell of a game, Baylor and Butler, Seth.
Yeah, like those two games, like Penn State, Maryland. Let's go that one. Let's go Baylor, Butler. All right, so Penn State, Maryland. There's a Penn State team. Should be an NCAA tournament team. I mean, like, this is an upper-class team. Myron Jones makes shots. They've got that, you know, size in their front court. Lamar Stevens is an absolute beast and a matchup nightmare. They have the experience. They've been through it. They need to kind of grind it out and deal with the adversity that obviously the Big Ten is going to bring you because the league is really good and really deep and it's hard to win on the road and there are good venues and great ownership and all that good stuff. But my man Mariano Rivera with the cutter. I mean, like what he did the other day, Anthony Cowan, like he had no qualms about just pulling up and that thing was going in the second and left his hand. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. In a game that, do you understand that Illinois only trailed in that game like 1.2 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
In a game that like Maryland didn't seem, I hate to use the word connected, but I mean, offensively, they were like a wind up toy early. They didn't take good shots. You know, they didn't compete as hard as they need to compete probably defensively. I mean, Illinois ran that high ball screen two times in a row and lifted everyone above the foul line and Coburn laid it in like there was no one within 10 feet of him. But the toughness of this Maryland team, whether it's Morsell, whether it's Cowan, and then at the end of the game, not only did Cowan make a big shot, then he made the play on the other end, you know, to get the steal and got fouled and, you know, made the first free throw and they win a game. I mean, that's ridiculous. And then you've been talking all along, D squared, about Butler. Everyone does what they're supposed to do. They defend every possession. They don't turn it over. They make you guard for long periods of time. I think Thompson's like the unsung hero because, you know, we talk about Kamar Baldwin. We talk about McDermott. We talk about the big guys. I like Aaron Thompson. That guy's one of the best defenders in college basketball. And this team has an old school toughness to them. Like, how good are they? Because they're going to have to be really good to match the toughness of Baylor. How good are they?
Seth, I don't think toughness is an issue. I really don't. This is, you said it, old school Butler. Now, you know, I know college basketball people know that when Butler was rolling under Brad Stevens, they were very physical. Ronald Morad would bust through screens. You know, they were, and this is the same kind of crew, Seth. This is now. I watched Stanford, who a lot of people undervalue, beat the living hell out of Oklahoma. Next night, Butler beats him. Kamar Baldwin hits a bucket at the end. Basically, against Florida, if the game had gone on, I don't know, 10 more minutes, it would have been a 30-point game. Butler does that to you. It's not the prettiest, although, quite frankly, the two dudes, Baldwin and McDermott, are really good, fundamental, skilled, finesse basketball players when they need to be. But, Seth, this is – here's how I equate it. Butler goes to the national championship game 2 years in a row, once with Gordon Hayward, once without. I equate this year's team to the kind of the second year they went. NORAD was the point guard. Aaron Thompson, you mentioned. Shelvin Mack was the off guard. Well, Tamar Butler is going to make some NBA team happy. I believe he's the guy that can make an
Baldwin.
NBA team.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Kamar Baldwin. Man, he was my intern this summer at my radio station. I should know the damn kid. What am I doing, Seth?
Really? Seriously? Come on.
McDermott is a poor man's Gordon Hayward. He doesn't have the pop, but he has just as good a jump shot. Badley is like every role player that Butler's ever had, and the inside guys are the same inside guys. Seth, I'm telling you, I can't wait to see this game. I know the offensive rebounding is a key for Baylor. I do, and that's going to be interesting. I know the backcourt, obviously, you've already mentioned, can really go for Baylor. This is almost a perfect mirrored matchup, Butler and Baylor. It's odd in a way, but it really kind of is, and I can't wait to see it. I really can't. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, that's probably the best game of the night. I mean, you know, now look, we have some good games here in New York, and you know, we'll get to those in a second. All right, going through the Big Ten just real quickly, and then we'll get into the debacle of North Carolina and Virginia a little bit. But going through the Big Ten now, all of a sudden, Ohio State, now everyone's starting to talk about it, they're the best team in the country. Now, I think Ohio State, Kansas has been really impressive, but Ohio State, if they have an Achilles heel, what is it? Inside info from Junior.
I would say front court depth. Junior, my son, thinks, he calls me the other day, goes, Dad, he goes, I'm telling you, we're really good. He goes, we had four guys hit four threes each against Penn State. The game was just going along as a game, then they lost their mind. Caleb Wesson is playing great, All-American great. But E.J. Liddell is going to end up being a key because he is very good. I think he was a two-time Mr. Basketball in Illinois, which never happens. And he ends up at Ohio State, and he and Kyle Young are their front court depth. Look, Kyle Young is, in my opinion, the best, least renowned player in the country. I mean, he just does everything you want. I mean, and he does it with a ferocity. He does it with a toughness. He does it actually with almost an anger, which I love. Inside depth, Seth, is an Achilles heel. They got Kentucky in Vegas on December 21st. Going to be an interesting ball game because, you know, I don't care. Kentucky's still Kentucky to me. But,
yeah, they're getting a little bit better. E.J. Montgomery's playing a little bit better. They're getting a more consistent play out of him, which is
yeah, and they'll be
really
fine.
Important.
I mean,
and
look,
your guy Nick Richards. How about your guy Nick Richards? Comeback player of the year.
Oh my God.
Just a year late.
My comeback player of the year was last year, though, Seth. I said last year Nick Richards was. I didn't say this year.
I'll tell you what, he's been pretty good. I was impressed. Yeah. You know what I was impressed with? I was impressed with Michigan's bounce back, even though, all right, your guy, Luke Garza. I mean, Luke Garza. He was ridiculous. Now, I think you tell me, Michigan said, you know what? That one guy's not beating us. We're going to run him off the 3-point line. We're not doubling the post. And that guy's got good footwork and good versatility. And he was terrific. I look at Michigan, obviously, I use the word flow because I think that if you let them, you know, they had no flow, zero, zero, zero flow in their loss to Louisville. Easier to run offense against Iowa, there's no doubt about it. How good are they? How good is Iowa? Because I think Iowa's getting better.
Oh, Seth, Iowa's getting a lot better. Bobby Wischusen and I watched them last night. I'm doing Iowa State on Thursday. They're getting much better, and I think part of it is the confidence others are getting from Garza. You know, when you know one guy can really go, and Garza can really go, and I'll tell you this about Garza. Garza can score the ball, you saw that, but he is high, high energy. He is a guy that's infectious, and really, he's kind of a no-ego guy while he does all this, which endears him to his teammates, so I was 1,000 times better than when they got blasted at home by DePaul. It's not even the same team. I'm not even sure how much Garza played in that game. Maybe I'd look it up, but I think it was 18 to 22 minutes. I could be wrong, but that's what it seemed like when I watched the game. But Iowa's much better. I think Michigan is terrific. I think that they had a hangover. But I also think Chris Mack's defense absolutely dominated the game. And I think Chris Mack and Jordan Ward, their defense and his offense and all that, is dominating everybody. So, yeah, I'll say that Michigan got stuck offensively or whatever you want to say. But I'm giving better credit to Louisville because they were absolutely terrific. But, Seth, I think Michigan State's going to win games. I think Illinois has to win games. They've got so much talent.
They got good players.
They got good players. They just fit in. They're the only team in college basketball maybe still trying to play two bigs. I think the bottom.
And then they they turn it over, and then they get stuck, and then they go through periods where they can't score.
That they got nobody that can go do what Anthony Collin can do and get him an easy basket, and that's Io DeSumo. The team I was disappointed in, I couldn't believe, was Indiana. Indiana, I really believe this is one of the worst talented teams in Wisconsin since the 80s and 90s. Before Dick Bennett. But I got to tell you, they must have some heart because Indiana obviously was playing well.
First road game, man. First road game for those young players.
Yeah.
Some young guys. First road game, kind of feeling good about themselves. 8 in a row at home, feeling good, false sense of security. Yeah. Now, we'll find out about them tonight because, they got Connecticut. Connecticut plays really, really hard, have veteran guards, a shot blocker and a cook, which will be an interesting matchup with, Trace Jackson Davis. So, I mean, that is going to be an interesting game. I watched last night. I couldn't sleep. So I watched that Indiana Wisconsin game. Indiana plays fast. I mean, they get it up the floor fast and it seems like they want to share the ball. It seems like they like each other. It seems like they want to try to defend, but they looked like a young, weak, physically overmatched team in that Wisconsin game, and Wisconsin made a ton of shots. Let's face it; I mean, they made a ton of shots.
But that's the pack line defense, Archie Miller's defense. They're gonna make you make shots, and they had two guys, Ford and Kobe King, hadn't made anything. So
I'll tell you the interesting thing before we bring on Chris Mack, though. North Carolina, you talk about pack line defense, and you talk about defense in general. First of all, 3-point percentage is down. Right, which is like scoring is down. And this is a non-conference play. This is not, so like, here's the deal. Like in college basketball, I mean, people usually get fat and happy in November and the beginning of December. Now there are more league games being played early, but like that line moving back is real. Now you've got more bad shooters thinking they can shoot that shot because they shot it before and it moved back and they're taking them. And everyone talks about, well, move the line back. It's going to help spacing. It has no impact on spacing because you don't have to guard dudes out there. You can go under ball screens. Everyone's running ball screen offense and no one really reads it and makes two people play it. So I'm interested to hear Chris Mack's feeling on the line moving back and the benefit it is to the pack line. What do you think about that? Because Chris Mack is actually joining us from New York City. He's been kind enough to, I don't know if we want Chris Mack, Dan, or do we want Chris Mack's family and daughter doing this interview?
That's what I'm at. Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, you posted the day you were playing, I think it was Michigan, your daughter's first high school game. You couldn't be there. That's the most important game in the family. What the hell happened? She win?
They did not win. Well, actually, she's playing both freshman and JV, so I think they actually split that night. Yeah, they split that night, Dan.
Hey, the best interview at the ACC Media Day was your daughter killing you. That was the best thing that I saw the whole.
She's actually about 5 feet from me, sitting in the hotel room here in New York City. Haley is with me.
She's the best.
Well, Chris, as a dad that sprinted home from games to watch his son, I empathize with you. But let me ask you a question about your kids. They lose a game. Are they on to the next one? Are they fired up? What's the temperature?
They play so many games nowadays, Dan, that I don't think it's like it used to be. They both enjoy playing. I don't know. It's a little different nowadays.
Yeah. No,
how do they handle when you guys lose a game? Not that you've lost.
They're
a game,
devastated.
I mean, like, they're devastated, right?
They're devastated. When dad loses a game, that's a big problem.
I'll tell you, there's nothing better. I took my daughters to a different daughter to every Final Four for 15 years. And to this day, it's the best thing that we probably ever did. I mean, it was,
it's a little harder the older they get with all the sports they're involved in and stuff like that. But, we try to squeeze those days in when we can.
Well, I was going to ask you about your team. You know, you're 3 years in. We all know the problems that Louisville had, you know, before you came in. How have you managed to turn this thing and make it the number one team and well-deserved number one team in the country in such a short time?
Well, number one, we're only 2 years in. And I would also say that it's never final. You know, and I think we have obviously a good team. You know, Coach Pitino recruited some high-level players that just didn't have a lot of game experience. Those guys are still with me. We still got a ways to go. I think our mindset's become a lot tougher than it was a year ago. You know, and a lot of that is just game experience and going through tough moments and believing in one another, believing in our system, getting better in it. And now that I have older players, those guys are probably at times my best coaches with the younger guys, you know, whether it's pulling them off to the side, whether it's when they're in a hotel room, drive over, you know, a huddle, you name it. The older guys usually set the tone for your younger guys. And I got some terrific guys in the program and very, very high character and guys that want to win. I have no complaints with the group I have. I enjoy coaching them every single day.
You know, your group is interesting because, like, you have – you know, we talk about Jordan Wara, we talk about Stephen Enoch, but the job you've done with Darius Perry, like, we can talk pack line all we want, but what you guys did the other day to Michigan started with that ball pressure and Darius Perry on Xavier Simpson. Have you extended out a little further? Because, like, he's disruptive defensively. I mean, watching him play and what you guys did defensively in that game, I mean, you basically swallowed him up in a lot of ways.
Well, Darius is he's a terrific on-ball defender, like most guys when they want to be. And he's really made up his mind this year to be that guy, you know, all the time. And he's had some huge challenges all year from the moment we started, you know, the season with Chris Lights down in Miami. You mentioned Xavier Simpson. You know, Pittsburgh's got a couple guards and Xavier Johnson and Trey McGowan's, who, although are different, are the engine of their team. So Darius has been faced with a challenge each and every night. And he's done a terrific job. The game has become, as you said before I got on the podcast, so much ball screens and so many ball screens in all different directions. Guys are twisting them, setting them at 30 feet, 20 feet. And if you're not tough on the ball and you're not tough in getting over that ball screen, it's not a matter of just playing one-on-one. You know, your five man's getting involved, but your ability to get over the screen and back to your man to relieve the big is so important. And Darius has done a terrific job, as of all of our guards, but he gets the brunt of it being our starting point guard.
Well, to that end, the line moves back, the three-point line, and we're seeing some shooting numbers down. What's your take on that? How has that affected the college game?
Well, it's a different shot. I mean, it's those few inches mean a lot. I think it separates some guys that are decent shooters, and now they've become not very good. And, you know, I think a guy like Jordan Wara and Ryan McMahon, the line doesn't mean a thing when it moves back a few inches. Those guys can shoot it from anywhere. But, you know, it's not equal opportunity. You know, we really challenged our guys this year on the offensive end. I didn't want any transition threes outside of those two guys because we can get a better shot. And, you know, I think that the teams are still figuring it out. We're still figuring it out. You know, our objective is to get the best shot we can, but, you know, I think there have been a lot of programs that have hung their hat on shooting 33s a game. And if you're only making, you know, six or seven of them, I don't care what the analytics say. I don't think that's a great outcome for your offense.
Hey, Chris, you always had a guy on your team when you're Xavier and obviously now at Louisville that just, I always felt like reflected your toughness, that reflected, I guess, you as a player or you as a coach, your edge. And to me, it's Sutton. I mean, like, he's a different cat like that. He just seems like he's never not ready to play. Like, what does he bring to your group?
I mean, he's the same guy every single day. And I don't know if fans necessarily understand what that means, but, you know, college basketball becomes, you know, it becomes a long season. You know, you're doing this thing 5 months. You got preseason practices nowadays. We never take off in the summer. Kids are here all summer, but he's literally the same guy every single day in the weight room, on the floor. He's going to give it his all. And, that's not easy for some guys to do. And he's also just a winner. You know, he's never looking at the stat sheet, wondering how many shots he gets up or why a guy's getting more recognition than he is. He simply wants to win. And I think if you're his teammate, you can see that and feel that every single day. And when that's one of your leaders, and he's not just a, sort of an underclassman glue guy, but he's a fifth year senior, he's from Louisville. I just think it's really hard to, you know, start begging for more shots or start begging for more recognition if one of the best players on the team never does that. And, you know, he's been fun to coach. I wish he was a little bit more vocal. He knows that, but I never have to worry about him bringing it every single day.
You ever walk into a bar and drop $1,000 on kids for the, you know, the bark, and like my man Travis Steele did the other day after a win?
That's sort of an annual tradition that coaches would do at Xavier. I never brought in $1,000. It's probably half of what I brought. You know, I probably brought in half of that. But, you know, Travis.
That is a tradition,
like that, I guess. Yeah, a few of the coaches over the years did that, but you know, Trav made it cheekier with $1,000 on the table. Wow,
you can't hide Trav. Money now. I'll tell you one thing: life is life. No. Hey, just think about this, Dad. He survived working on your staff.
I promoted him. You kidding me?
Trav did a great job. He's going to be do special things with that program. He's a great coach.
I mean, you are. Or a big part of what Xavier basketball is all about. How hard was it? I know Louisville's a great job and, you know, Final Four, national championship and written all over because they've done it. How hard was it to leave that situation where your family was so comfortable? And people don't understand like the impact of, I know your wife's from Louisville, but I mean, to pick up and leave a place, like it's like an NBA trade. You always know what you're getting rid of. You never know what you get.
Right.
How hard was it?
It's really hard. It was really hard. I mean, I think a lot was made of Christy being from Louisville, but, you know, she hadn't lived there in 25 years, you know, so it wasn't like, you know, she was begging to get back home. And even though it's, what, 90 miles or so, 90 minutes to get, you know, to Louisville and Cincinnati, it's a different world for me. But, you know, I still have, you know, the majority of my family lives in Cincinnati. And so I know it was hard for them. But for me, it was time. You know, it was just, I'd been there, I think 14, 15 straight years, both as an assistant with Sean Miller and then as a head coach. And, you know, it was just sort of time. I wanted to go to, what I perceived as the best league in the country in the ACC, you know, Hall of Fame coaches and Coach K, Roy Williams, Jim Boeheim, see what Tony's doing. And, I just wanted to be a part of that. And, Louisville, although it's gone through some muck and some stuff that, you know, had black clouds around it, I really felt like long-term, you know, it would be the best place for my coaching career and really to end my coaching career whenever that time comes.
Has the ACC lived up to it for you?
Well, I've only been in it for a year. It's very odd, you know, and what I mean by odd is in the Big East, you had 10 teams. So you played everybody twice. And by the time you got to the Big East tournament, you were playing someone for the third time, which, man, the rivalries became intense. The familiarity between programs, you know, was at an all-time high. And then, you know, you come over to the ACC and you have 15 teams. And you play, you know, some teams once, a couple teams twice. I know we've moved to a 20-game league schedule, so it's a little different this year. But just as a for instance, we played Miami, Florida in our first conference game last year at the very beginning of January, and we never played them again. And, it was just awfully strange to even feel like they were in our league. You know, they went through some injuries. Their team changed throughout the year. And I think when you get them in January, they're going to look a lot different than in March. You know, teams go on runs, good and bad. And, it's just a little different. But in terms of the competitiveness, the talent level, the athleticism, I still stick to the ACC. You know, for my money, is the best league in the country.
Hey, you guys are in New York, Madison Square Garden. What is just playing in, you know, you've played in the Garden a zillion times, obviously in the Big East tournament and, before, but what, you know, playing in the Jimmy V, any special significance, for you, for your team, this trip to New York with Louisville for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's an honor anytime you can play at Madison Square Garden. You know, for some of our guys, it'll be the very first time and maybe only time in their career. You know, Louisville not being in the Big East, we don't get those opportunities. So I know our players are really looking forward to it. And, you know, obviously the Jimmy V Classic is centered around cancer awareness and, you know, the research and everything that Dick Vitale's done in the name of Jimmy Valvano. It just seems like nowadays that every family in the country is affected somehow, whether it's a relative, a brother, a sister, an aunt, uncle, a friend, you name it. You know, my dad's gone through a little bit of a scare and is, you know, finishing up his radiation treatment. You know, he lost his brother last fall to cancer. You know, Sam Williamson on our team, you know, there's a story going around on Twitter. His mom battled breast cancer a few years ago. So it really touches everybody that you know nowadays. And it's sad, but hopefully we continue to, you know, find different cures for different types of cancer and continue to make progress in that regard.
Well, Chris, on a game day, we really appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us. I'm looking forward to seeing your team play tonight. I mean, they are a fun group to watch.
Awesome.
We wish you nothing but the best. And thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Yep. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks again to Chris Mack for joining us. Before we move on, let's pause for a moment to hear from today's sponsor, Roman and Vivid Seats. We need to mention today's sponsor, Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves by saying things like, I lost my mojo. Or avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work. Or, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about it. With a real doctor who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing ED care, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctors will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to roman.com/courtside and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to roman.com/courtside to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's roman.com/courtside for a free visit to get started. Get roman.com/courtside.
We have a message from our good friends at Vivid Seats. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band or being in the crowd to cheer on our favorite team. With Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can attend the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all live events. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. And when you make your next purchase, enter promo ESPN25 for a 10% off your next order. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. And don't forget to use the promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event.
D squared.
Yes, sir.
He's got good perspective, Chris Mack. Well, I'm just saying it's hard with the pressure of college basketball to have perspective.
You guys that made all that money.
I wish I did.
You're at Louisville. You're at Virginia Tech. You're making $5 million, $3 million. You lose a job. Big deal. The bank account is filled up, and it's a freaking relief. guy like me struggling in the MAC, turns down or doesn't continue to take the West Virginia job, goes back to peanuts. You get fired, man, I'm eating Velveeta, baby. You got you.
Oh, my God.
They've got no pressure at that level. What's K get all worked up about on the sidelines? What's he worked up about? He's making $9 million a year. Relax.
You know what? First of all, sir, as you know, self-imposed pressure is far greater than financial pressure.
Right. Oh, I know.
I was talking, Mr. Dockich, before we were stepping over each other because we're in two different locations. His perspective in terms of, and you and I have both lived it, and I think the people listening need to understand it. I mean, like, when you have a family and you're coaching, two things. Your kids, all right, that they live it. And they're raised and they live in a different way because, you know, if your team's good, things are good. Your team's not good, things aren't good. If you win before the holidays, things are good. You don't win before Christmas, you know, a lot of times things aren't that good. And the microscope your kids are under is really, it's impactful. And to me, I think people need to understand is that, a big responsibility, and Dan, you've done an incredible job with it, and I'm proud of what we've done with our girls, is making sure that you include your kids in what you do, but also making sure they understand who you are and spending time with them and finding time to spend real time with them away from just your job. And you know, I see Chris, you know, he does that. I mean, and that's really, really important as a parent to invest in the relationship you have with your kids, not just the relationship you have with your team, and be inclusive and let them experience that life, because it is a great environment for kids to be in, because they see a little bit of everything, but also have both feet on the ground. And, you know, I'm really impressed with what he does in terms of being a coach, but more importantly, being a parent. I think that's, you know, people don't understand there's two separate jobs.
All I know is when I was getting my brains beat out and we had no chance to win my last 2 years at Bowling Green, all I know is the losses were horrible, but the looks in my kids' faces were 1,000 times worse. All right, I got to rip Paul George for just a second. Do you mind?
No, go ahead, Dan. Knock yourself out.
I've had enough of Paul George. Paul George is so full of crap. Look, he's a good player during November, December, January. He's great. Yay, rah, go fight, win. But this idiot yesterday, someday I'm going to do a tell-all, and I'll tell the leading events of how I left Indiana. Shut up. He lied to the fan base, and both teams moved on, and both benefited from him leaving. The Pacers got Oladipo and Sabonis and OKC, and then eventually the Clippers. So I get so tired. One day I'm going to tell my story. There's going to be a day, and it better be soon, that he needs to tell his story. Because in about 5 minutes from now, nobody's going to care. Also, last thing, I got to rant for a second. You okay with this?
Go for it. Knock yourself out, bro.
Indiana is so jacked up that Bob Knight might come back to a game. Of course Bob Knight's coming back to a game. Of course. He's nationally irrelevant. And once he became nationally irrelevant, I've said for 8 years, he is going to be back in Assembly Hall, where it's the only place in the world anybody gives a rat's behind. So Indiana fans, and I know there's a ton that listen to this thing, of course he's coming back to Assembly Hall, and you all are going to go nuts. And look, when you get Bob Knight's age, you got two choices, as I look at me hopefully becoming that age. You can be bitter, or you can go to where people love you. And the only place anybody loves the dude is in Assembly Hall. So he's going to be back in Assembly Hall. The fans are going to go nuts. And I hope Dickie V is the broadcaster of the game so that he can go nuts too. And don't at me about naming the floor after Bob Knight. They named it after Branch McCracken, who won 2 national championships. Sorry. That's my rant.
Well, yeah, I'm going to kind of piggyback on that. I don't have a rant on it. I'm a sentimentalist. You know, no matter what happened in the past, sometimes you got to have closure. And, you know, in my coaching generation per se, You know, look, Bob Knight was put on a pedestal. Whether you liked him, didn't like him, you respected how your Indiana teams played, how they competed, how they defended, how they shared the ball, how he taught the game. And it was a different time. Let's face it. It was a different time. And, you know, whether people agree or disagree, you know, how it was handled in Indiana, I'm the belief. I think it would be great if he had one more time. I think it would be great if that, you know, those undefeated teams and Coach Knight in the Assembly Hall, for one last bow. I think it would be good for everyone. It would be great. It would be great for Archie Miller. It would be great for Indiana basketball. It would be great for the state. It would be great for the city. You know, it would be great for the university. And then everyone can move on. So, I'd love to see that happen. You know, who knows if, you know, you think it will, and it'll probably happen shortly. And I think it's cool that he moved back. Why would you want to be in Lubbock? You're Bobby Knight. What you did at Indiana and the success that you had, no matter how it ended, you do need to be in Bloomington. Look, I know he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. I know he was a cantankerous dude and hard on people and all that other things, but you know, he also did a lot of good things that probably people don't realize. Unfortunately, the bad sometimes outweighed the good because
the bad becomes a 30-30. The good gets barely a mention. I mean that is absolute. But anyway, I just
Hey, before we go, two things real quickly. All right, North Carolina, are they fixable?
I don't think they have any pros. You guys like Cole Anthony a lot more than I do.
I don't. I actually, I'm down on Cole Anthony right now. I'm not down on him. One, he has no wing scorers. They're limited in their, you know, even Baycott and Garrison Brooks are, Brooks will end up playing in the league. Baycott will eventually end up playing in the league. But here's the thing. I mean, like, people figured it out. Rebound the ball, get back on defense, and commit an extra body to Cole Anthony. He's going to take bad shots. He doesn't have the vision I thought he had, where he's makes the game easier for anyone. I'm not sure. I mean, look, fixable is, I mean, are they an NCAA tournament team?
Steph, may I just say, I of all the coaches that as an assistant head coach I coached against, I think Roy Williams is the best. I do. He beat our teams when we were at Indiana with great teams. He beat them when he didn't have any pros. But North Carolina, you look up on those rafters and you say, man, they used to have real guys. I'm talking about real, real guys. I just don't see that they have real guys. And, you know, 47 points, as you know, Seth, Roy Williams wants to play faster than anybody. He wants to score 100 every night out. So there's some real flaws in the roster. And fixable, look, they're going to win. It's like Michigan State. Michigan State isn't a great Michigan State team, I don't think, anyway. But they're going to win a bunch of games because they're tough and they have culture and they have guys that, you know, are there to win. But I don't think they're on the national stage this year, Seth. I could be dead wrong, but what I've seen, I don't see North Carolina making an impact nationally. ACC, third, fourth, whatever, maybe they'll win some games. But I just can't imagine that team can make any noise anywhere based on what I've seen to this point. But again, I think Roy Williams is the best that I've ever coached against, assistant or head coach, and I expect that they will get a lot better.
What your take on Virginia? I see, like, to me, Virginia, even though they defend you and all that jazz, let me tell you something. I mean, they're not holding everyone to 40. And I'm a huge Tony Bennett fan. I think of Tony Bennett like you think of Roy, but let me tell you something. I mean, like, I look at that, like, Kihei Clark, you just look at their players, right? Kihei Clark last year shot four times a game, and he shoot eight times a game. He's not ready for that role. Jay Huff played about, you know, 9 minutes a game last year, whatever he played. You know, now he's a major focal point. Mamadou Diakite is their best player, but if someone's got to get him the ball. Braxton Key is out. I mean, like, I look at them and I marvel at what they do defensively, but like, eventually you're gonna play teams you have to score against. I mean, I don't know where they get scoring from.
They need Braxton Key bad, and sitting there courtside for the Purdue game, Seth, it was, I'll be honest with you, and I said this on the air, it was the first time that I ever saw a Virginia team kind of beat. You know what I mean? Like, kind of,
yeah.
Crowd, their shots weren't going, and Purdue was doing to them what they do to teams. They kind of smothered them. So, but I'll say this again. I'll say the same thing I said about North Carolina. They're going to win games because, and damn, they just beat North Carolina because that's what they do. They're good enough to do that. But I don't, my gosh, I'm Seth. I mean, I know this isn't probably the right thing to say, but if that's the number five team in the country.
No, they're not. No. Stop.
You
stop.
Know?
Enough. Stop. I mean, that's right. The absurdity of people that are, you know,
that's
it. North Carolina's not a top 10 team, but either is Virginia. And I'll tell you what, Auburn's moving up. I'm not sure Auburn is. That was the last thing before we sign off. Like Auburn, they're undefeated. They barely beat Furman. They had to come back from that game. They had another game, South Alabama, where they went overtime. I love how hard they play. I love Okoro. I think they have senior guards. You know, you almost, they seduce you. They don't turn you over like they used to. They do rebound. You're like, again, I look at college basketball right now. I'm waiting for someone to jump up at me and say, hey, I'm the baddest dude in the land. It might be Louisville. I think it's either Louisville or Kansas. That's my gut feeling.
Louisville so far. I mean, hey, look, winner of Butler Baylor comes a team that has a great win. If Butler wins it on the road, holy cow. I mean, but I'm with you, Seth. I don't know that we have we don't have a clear, hey, this guy's going to be a number one pick in the draft. I guess Wiseman's that guy, but he's out. And we don't have a team. But I'll tell you this, what we got, and I believe this. I believe every night you turn on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, whatever you want to turn on, and it never disappoints, man. There's a hell of a game every night.
Oh, no doubt about it.
And
Washington, Gonzaga was an incredible game. Jaden McDaniel, dude is Daniels. I mean, that dude can play.
I have a thing on Twitter where I just, after about every night, I say the same thing. Every night, college basketball delivers. Because you can find, and it's not Zion Williamson, wow, look at him. It's, man, was that a good, Illinois, Maryland. It's the first time, Seth, I ever legitimately had an out-of-body experience on the microphone going, he fouled him. It's exciting this year, and it's kind of fun not having the focus of whether it's, you know, green room guys like we did a few years ago or, you know, Trey Young like we did two or three years ago and not, you know, Zion. It's kind of fun to have what we have. And I think Louisville right now, like most things in life, has earned exactly where they're at. And I'm excited to see them continue and see if they can, because as you know better than me, the ACC is a mother, man. It is. There you go.
We're gonna have great games this year. D squared. I look forward to listening to your call. Some we'll be in New York City with Texas Tech and Louisville and Connecticut and Indiana, and we'll reconvene. We appreciate Chris Mack joining us, and you know wherever you listen to your podcast, there's only one podcast you need to download. However you download it, and that is the world's greatest podcast, better known as Courtside with Greenberg and Dockett.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcast.